Cultism is here, episode 7.
Wow.
Is it seven? It is seven.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, my name's Ian Todd, and who we got with me?
I'm Harry the Medium.
And if you want to chat to us on Twitter, I'm Ian Todd 82, and you are?
I'm Harry Medium.
That's it. There's no numbers.
No numbers on that. I don't want to give my age away like you.
But yeah, thanks for your cheeky tweets, and I hope you enjoyed the zombie special. But the first one we're going to be talking about today is something I've put forward, and it's a film which is, I think it might be Australian with a little bit of American money, which is Dark City from 1998. Are you a fan?
I've never seen it, but on your suggestion, I've just watched the trailer. I've got two words. David Flibbin Lynch. That's what it reminded me of.
Well, yeah, it was quite a strange one. It was when I had a free pass at the cinema back in the day. It was 1998, so, you know, I was like 16. I was like, cinema, wow. And it had Rufus Sewell, Kiefer Sutherland, Jennifer Connelly and William Hurt in. And the lad from, I've lost his name for a second, from The Crystal Maze. He was in it as well.
Richard O'Brien.
Yes, Richard O'Brien was in it playing a very creepy guy.
I noticed him, yeah.
And the basic thing is, Rufus Sewell plays a guy, John Murdoch, who's suffering from amnesia, who finds himself accused of murder. He then attempts to discover his true identity, clear his name, while on the run from the police and a mysterious group known only as the Strangers. And it's really, like, to me, it's probably one of my favourite films, really, because it's just, you can come back the way it's a classic sort of cult sci-fi film.
It's got a lot of depth, has it?
It has, yeah, and it's not for someone who doesn't really want to think about things. It's actually like, oh, wow, you know, and there are certain elements where it looks like other films or blah, blah, and I think The Strangers look a little bit Hellraiser-y, but that's fine, yeah. You know, it's like...
That's strange that you mentioned Hellraiser, because, I did think of Hellraiser when I was watching it and saw the monstery fellas.
And also, there's also been a director's cut as well put out in the about 2008, and that's the original artistic vision, because the studio thought that no one would really get it, so they said they would have to have a voiceover narration.
Oh, Blade Runner-esque.
Yeah, exactly, and he wasn't particularly chuffed. It didn't do that well at the cinema, but since it's kind of built up that sort of DVD sort of thing, and then people are starting to really understand it and stuff, there's always going to be a sequel going to be talked about, but like a lot of films, never happened.
What's the basic premise then, in 10 words or less?
Basically, as I said there, basically this guy wakes up.
Yeah.
Doesn't know who he is, anything, and he's been accused of murder, and he's just got to try and find his way around the city and trying to talk to his partner and stuff about what the hell's happening. And
it looks like a computer game.
The graphics and all that and stuff are really good for the time as well, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone, because if I start talking about it, you'll go, oh, right, and I don't want to say that because you spoiled it, but it's very kind of like, it's very interesting concepts that they deal with in terms of this sort of weird place that they exist in. I don't want to go anywhere with it, but...
Yeah, it looks like it's underground or something, doesn't it, from the trailer?
It's not, but it's a very unique place anyway. That it seems very normal and very kind of normal sort of place, but there's a lot of weird stuff going on. Very kind of classic sci-fi horror concepts.
Right, I'm sensing you don't want to say too much.
No, I think it's best to kind of talk like a politician about it, so no,
right.
So I don't ruin it for anyone.
So we're saying that to. What can we call it? A recommendee? No,
indeed,
that doesn't work.
Todd Selector.
Todd Selector, Dark City. I'll have to look it up.
You can get the director's cut, which is obviously better and all that, and you get for about £2-3. You know.
Oh, right. That's probably the sort of film I'd like.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I would definitely recommend it. I think it's kind of one of the ones that kind of hovered on a lot of people's radars for a bit. And people who've seen it do kind of really like it, because I think it's a definite one-off. What one we got asked for today by, I'm going to pronounce his name slightly wrong, but I'm going to try and not make it rude. Mark Cockram.
On the Twitters.
Yes, Mark Cockram, I'll say, yes. And he put forward Black Hole, a Disney film, which I haven't seen. But
Black Hole, yeah, he said that today, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
You haven't seen The Black Hole?
I haven't, no, I'll be honest with you, I haven't, no.
It's got probably my favourite robot of all time in it, Vincent, voiced by Roddy McDowall. It's also got Maximilian, one of the scariest robots of all time. And, yeah, he's right, it has got a very trippy ending. Very trippy.
For a Disney film as well.
Look it up, it's very dark. I think, if I remember rightly, it was fairly groundbreaking, or the effects were pretty high end for the time. Now it looks a bit but it's quite a dark story. Some astronauts in a spaceship it feels like it's the not too distant future, but they've got a robot called Vincent and he's cool. Anyway, they kind of run out of power and they fall across this ship in space, drifting in space. It's like a lost ship, no life signs on it. And they go down to investigate, and things are afoot.
I like how we're kind of deliberately being quite quite vague about stuff. It's good, so if people haven't seen it like me, you kind of won't get spoiled, but you can still give a bit of a taster, like a trailer.
It's very good, the Dark... what am I talking about? The Dark Crystal, that was weeks ago. I did watch The Dark Crystal again, though, thanks, Dr. Phil. Watched it with Iron William, he enjoyed it, I enjoyed it. Got to do my Fizz Gig impression again. But yeah, The Black Hole, very good. Worth watching. Another one you can probably get for £2.
I think it doesn't mean that the film's not very good. It just means like there's obviously a length of time since it came out and stuff. And that's the beauty of DVDs these days. You can pick stuff up so cheap. I also watched from ITV4 the other week, The Running Man, which I mentioned by text. And I enjoyed that. It was fun.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. It was
I haven't watched it for a long time. I can only imagine that it looks pretty 80s now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the height of 80s. But it was. I imagine it would be a Saturday night game show in the future like that, you know?
Well, we're nearly getting there, aren't we?
Gradually, yes. You know.
Total Wipeout or whatever it's called.
Yes, that's just been cancelled. It's probably be cancelled because the Run Man's on next year, you know?
Yeah, the Running Man... Total Wipeout Mark II.
Wow, in 3D, obviously.
Oh, God, yeah.
The next one I put forward this as well. I'm a big fan of Asian horror and Audition. I would put it as it's probably one of my most unsettling horror films I've seen. Do you find it disturbing?
I'm not a massive fan of Korean horror.
Right. Korean, specifically Korean.
Yeah. South Korean, North Korean, just Korean. No, I'm not a fan of those, that ilk, really. I've seen Ring. Didn't bother with any of the others, I don't think. But I've never seen Audition, although it does ring a bell. It's Kishi Mike again.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I went to see because I think they were all released in like the late noughties and late sort of around 99, 2000, and like Ring came out and stuff, and I saw them at a local art cinema, and then Audition was on. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. And I'll just give you the basic concept: a middle-aged man who's just lost his wife,
yep,
urged by his son to start dating again. So his mate of his, who's a film producer, devises a mock casting audition, which a young woman would audition for the part of
his
this
wife.
Film, but really of his new wife. Right. He agrees to the plan, and he seems really enchanted by this one girl. And then basically he starts going on dates with her, blah blah, And it's just not what you seem, and it all goes very mental and has one of the most bizarre endings in films, really. Yeah, it basically, she's probably about half his age, and he's thinking, yeah, I'm up for a bit of this. And then there's some really disturbing flashback sequences about her life.
Oh, yeah.
And you're questioning what is he actually dreaming this, and is this really happening? And she's got a few kind of weird things that she does in her flat and stuff, and she's going, yeah, it's kind of a weird sort of underworld of wrongness.
Goodness, it sounds horrible.
Yeah. there's some interesting characters. There's that she's a ballerina, and she had a disabled teacher who used to have a hot poker and just put on her leg to her lady part. There's some really unsettling scenes, and if you're a fan of Eyes, I would kind of look away near the end, because there's some disturbing eye sequences. So.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. It sounds controversial and disturbing.
It is, yeah, and but brilliant by the same token. It's like if you find, I think it's all about the sound effects with a lot of Japanese and Asian horror. There's a lot of kind of weird, and with this one, when there's someone's kind of getting some bad treatment toward their body, so to speak, it's all the sounds of and all this sort of things.
Sticking a pencil in an apple. That's what they did on Evil Dead.
But yeah, it's definitely worth a watch. Like if you're up for a bit of weird horror.
It sounds less like a horror and more like a sort of Saw or something like that. What is it, like body horror? Or
yeah,
something?
That sort of torture porn. Yeah, torture porn. Why don't we do what you did the other time? Just put Audition into YouTube, horror, and see what you think of the trailer, and see, because I've maybe style a bit too much like the torture porn. I don't think it is, but you know.
No, it looks more disturbing than that. I'm watching it. There's phones, there's a bag, there's something. It looks, oh, that's a nose. Oh, I didn't realise. Yeah, it looks a bit weird. This is like a weird episode, apart from the black hole, which is relatively normal, but still a bit weird.
Yeah, it is something now, yeah. Yeah, it's probably because I've picked a few of them.
Goodness gracious, where's the zombies gone? I want normality. Yeah, it looks freaky.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there was a lot of kind of good Asian horror. You had kind of like The Ring, Audition. You had Dark Water as well. The Eye was pretty good as well. And Phone. It was like, I think they were quite obsessed with technology as well around that time in terms of horror.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan.
I mean, some people said the remakes are good and stuff, but I haven't really dabbled in the remakes personally.
I might have seen the remake of The Eye. Did that have Jessica Alba in it?
It might have done. I haven't seen. So The Grudge as well. You might have seen The Grudge that had Sarah Michelle Gellar. I think she was in.
I haven't seen the remake. I might have seen the original, but
right.
Yeah, they're all. I don't know why they leave me feeling a bit cold.
Right.
I find them unsettling, but I don't really find them that scary. And it's kind of, they're almost kind of like modern takes on traditional ghost stories, aren't they?
Yeah,
a lot of them.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. But it always makes me kind of unsettled if ever I'm going on a date or anything, and I always think, oh God, I might end up with that lass from the film. So, you know.
Half your age? Crikey.
That would be very disturbing.
Yeah, exactly. Don't say that.
The next one, I know it's crap that I haven't seen it, and I do apologise. It's Mad Max Part 2, The Road Warrior.
Oh, that's, the middle one. I've got the Mad Max box set. I got it with an SFX subscription.
All right.
With the Matrix trilogy as well. Mm. And I've never opened either of them. I should really watch those, shouldn't I? I can that's a good excuse to watch Mad Max again. I did put Mad Max on once, and my lady pal, she made me turn it off after about 10 minutes because she thought it was something else. She thought Mad Max was something completely different, and I meant a completely different film.
Oh, like a rude film?
No, like The Care Bears or something.
Well, this is the second one, Road Warrior, and it's 1981, post-apocalyptic action film.
Yeah.
And I mean, is there just three of these? Yeah. It apparently is quite a cult thing, and it's also fan clubs and Road Warrior themed activities continue into the modern day. I don't know what that sort of vague phase means. Exactly. You know, it's all going to be dodgy there. You know.
Definitely.
Well, yeah. You know, if it does come on, I'll have a cheeky watch. I'm sure it'll be on ITV3 or something soon.
Yeah, I'll have to dig it out and give it a watch.
So thanks to the Cerner for that, because he knows stuff. The next one is from Mulwich on Twitter, and it's Cherry 2000.
Rings a bell. Refresh my memory.
In the future, a man travels to the ends of the earth to find the perfect woman. Is always on his nose. When a successful businessman, Sam Treadwell, finds out his android wife, Cherry Model 2000, has blown a fuse, he hires sexy renegade tracker E. Johnson to find her exact duplicate. But as their journey to replace his perfect mate leads them into a treacherous and lawless region of the Zone, Treadwell learns the hard way that perfect women is not made of computer chips and diodes, but of real flesh and blood.
Mulwich suggested that.
Indeed he did, yeah.
That's got to be some weird Scottish thing going on there, hasn't it?
It's, when I looked it up, it's quite a big American film. I think it might have been 70s, I'll just double check that.
There's something weird going on in Scotland, though, for him to have suggested that. That's a weird sounding film. That's almost a sexy film, surely.
It does sound pretty rudy. It's a 1987. Melanie Griffith and David Andrews.
Oh my God!
Set in 2017, the best year.
Yeah, the best year. All I can say on that is, Mulwich, you're a dirty Scot. It sounds like it's a little bit for a more X-rated podcast.
But anyway, the next one is obviously a classic, and you put it forward, Goodnight Sweetheart.
I did not put that forward, although I do remember it. I remember him playing Imagine on the piano. Oh, that's clever.
It's a show you wanted to write, let's be honest about it.
I don't think I was old enough to appreciate how bad it was. I think I was still full of vim at that age when it was on, and... I think now if I watched it, I'd want to gouge out my own eyeballs.
I've seen it recently, and I kind of quite enjoy it just because I love the concept. I think the concept to me is still fascinates us, even though the comedy notes is naff. But just the general concept of him just working for Rumbellos as well, straight away, that's funny. I'm here to fix your telly and stuff. And then he wanders into the 1940s and stuff. It's just like, wow, what a concept. You know.
Who wrote it? Who wrote it?
I don't really want to say because it'll make it sound worse than it already is. It was by the guys who did Birds of a Feather.
Although I watched Birds of a Feather as a nipper and probably enjoyed it for some reason.
Yeah, but it was probably Sunday night and you were getting ready to go to school. So this is hilarious. You know, you got that slaggy woman and stuff, and it's always so funny.
Yeah, that slaggy woman. She was all over the papers and sexiest woman and all this. No, she's just a slaggy woman character. It's not even like the actual lady's going to do that.
But she wasn't even attractive, really, when you think about it. She was about 94 as well in the show, you know.
And she looked as though she'd been baked.
She did, yeah, she looks slightly tantastic. Yeah, that's true. And then you had Pauline Quirk. Ugh.
Yeah.
Horrible woman. But yeah, Goodnight Sweetheart. Yes. Corny, blah, blah. But I think it's in terms of cult programming, it's very mid-90s naff sort of thing. But if you think about the concept, it is a cool concept, you know, for a show.
It's out there, isn't it?
Well, you know, he's married, and near the end, he's married in two time zones, you know. So
yeah. I remember feeling a little bit uncomfortable at that. I don't know. Seemed a bit misogynistic somehow.
And he had kids as well. And did he have a kid? I'm not sure if he had a kid in the modern day, but he definitely had a kid back in the day. So like,
he couldn't quite give up. either, could he? He was definitely living a dual life, which in reality would be impossible, surely.
Well, the best one was, which I think was later ripped off by Victor Dibley, was when he was having, I think it was Christmas dinner or something in two time zones, so he was jumping out in the back and stuff, and that was quite cool. You know, he ended up actually staying in the 1940s in the end.
Now, was he the only person then that discovered this time slip?
Well, yes and no. There was odd people who kind of, like his mate, he wandered into the past at one point.
He was
a
fat one out of bread.
Indeed he was, yes. And he was also in Sean's show as well.
Brilliant. I love Sean's show.
Yeah, I've got the list for a later episode of Cultism as well, because I think it deserves a mention. But in the end, last episode was really weird. It was kind of this guy who was like in charge of this kind of time portal type thing. Had to say, right, we're locking it up, so which way are you going? And it's like, whoa, it's quite a sci-fi element just suddenly dropped in there.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it was quite bizarre. But the next one is Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. And who was that suggested by?
That was Eliza. Yes, only because I haven't seen it. I hadn't really... I think I'm aware of the title, but that's as far as it goes. So it sounds like the sort of thing Eliza would suggest. Sounds a bit racy.
All I'm saying is Channel 5, late 90s, even I sort of saw, because they used to have Mia films on. And a friend of mine, one of his exes, got him the full box set of all Russ Mia films, and that's a good girlfriend.
Why, are they Rudy?
Very Rudy.
Are they?
Come on, put Beyond the Valley of the Dolls in YouTube. You'll obviously get like the normal trailer. You won't get anything rude. But every woman in all these films has massive breasts. That's basically all he does.
Okay.
He basically got a present of a box set of like soft porn from his girlfriend. That was basically how it rolled.
About it, it does look a bit like soft porn.
Like Confessions.
I don't know what that is.
Confessions of a Milkman and all that in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. And whoopsie, I'm a lucky window cleaner.
Yeah. But more American.
Yeah. More moustache, yeah. Oh, well, I don't know. I might have to say that someone suggested it so I can watch it, but... I feel a bit uncomfortable just watching the trailer. I'm going to turn it off.
Well, basically, it's three girls come to Hollywood to make it big, but find only sex, drugs, and sleaze.
Yeah.
They're known for being kind of quite cool. Basically, the storyline wasn't really very interesting. There's lots of guns and stuff, and like a little bit of drug use and stuff. But it was
I've misjudged Eliza. I thought he was a nice man.
But yeah, it's all basically about the center breast, really. That's it, you know.
Right.
Okay. And he did a lot of films along the breast lines. So.
Oh.
He had a good fun time. He's kind of a bit like the Playboy guy, you know. He knows what he wants and he's made money out of it. So.
Captain Playboy.
That's what we'll call him. Yeah, yeah. The next one is suggested by you.
Yes.
Danger 5.
Yes. Well, I suggested it when I just found out about it. A lot of time has passed and I haven't actually watched any, but what I did see was very funny. And it reminded me a lot of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, but with a more sort of Thunderbirds-y feel. So if that sounds like your bag... Check it out. I know I will eventually.
It's on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube because I watched about 5 minutes of it because it's like in bits.
Yeah.
And it's an Australian action comedy television series, and it's a pulp magazine inspired series with a bizarre 1960s interpretation of World War II from a group of five international spies on a mission to kill Hitler, thwart his plans of world domination.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It did look very bizarre, like how the hell that got past pilot episode, I don't know.
I don't know, and it's new, isn't it? I didn't realise it was a
new. Yeah, only out in February this year, yeah.
But yeah, when I saw it, there was a character that was Matt Berry in Dark Place. Yeah. Going, oh, Hey. Like that.
That sounds exactly like my bed. I'll do the last one, which is the last Starfighter, because I think we need to uplift everyone.
Yeah,
the last Starfighter. To me, I remember watching it when I was a kid, and it was great. I was fascinated by the concept of, like, if you were playing an arcade game and you were really good at it, that someone was going to...
Drop down from space and whisk you off in their limousine.
Yeah, and it's just such a class sort of 80s film, that kind of... I suppose it was like just a daft sort of kids film, but it was in a sense it was like 1984 as well, so it was like I don't know who it was by. I'm just trying to look. It was by Nick Castle. I don't know if he's popular, but
don't remember his name.
It was sort of time when you had Tron and stuff around the same sort of time.
And other things like Flight of the Navigator and stuff like that, where like young boys were whisked off into far-flung adventures.
Yes, I remember Flight of the Navigator. I remember winning a T-shirt at the local video shop. So I was walking around with the Flight of the Navigator T-shirt thinking I was the coolest kid.
And you were?
I was for a minute, you know. But yeah,
The Last Starfighter.
Thank you. It's a fun film, but I don't know if it's got the kind of... It is very cool, but I don't think people would ever kind of talk about it in the same sort of vein as Star Wars or something like that, or Tron or something like that, you know. Yeah.
No, probably not as much as Star Wars, but not far behind Tron, I wouldn't have thought.
But there's definitely, I don't know, I maybe I'm just a bit out of touch, but I don't think there's enough films like this these days, you know?
No. Well, I suppose Super 8 was the closest thing we've got recently, and that was disappointing.
I haven't seen that. What was the vague concept of that?
Sort of kids making a film in the 60s or 70s or something, or maybe 80s, I don't know, Super 80s. Making a film, train crashes, some sort of alien thing gets out. It's a bit E.T.
Basically, I'll stand by it, that there's not enough. They should do Last Starfighter, a sequel. Another Last Starfighter.
He wasn't the Last Starfighter, that's Paradox.
Nope. It's a prequel. It's called The First Starfighter.
Good one. Yeah. Get on the phone.
Well, if Tron can get another edition of the franchise, you know.
It's true. Stranger things have happened, haven't they?
And I enjoyed Tron as well. It was good in the new one, you know.
I haven't seen it.
I think it's one of those sort of films I saw at the cinema, and I think seeing it in 3D at the IMAX is like, whoa.
Oh, you've got an IMAX, haven't you?
It was. I saw it on South Bank in London last January. We've got one at the Metro Centre in Gated.
I'll just apologise here and now, listener, for the fact that this has been the weirdest and the pseudo-sexiest and the pseudo-sexistest cultism so far. I'd like to say that I didn't bring any of those suggestions to the table. They were dirty men. And I'm all for more of The Last Starfighter and The Black Hole, so please get suggestions in. Hashtag it cultism. If you like the cult, not the band, but cult stuff, listen to cultism. EastEnders isn't a cult.